Our sermon text, again, like this morning, is in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2. And we looked at the first seven verses this morning and saw the humility of Christ's birth and how that points us to the fact that He had come to live a humble life for our salvation. And we saw that if we're going to celebrate the birth of Christ, we should do so by living in humility for Him, which is not the usual way we think of celebrating the birth of Christ. We're going to continue tonight where we left off and look here at verses 8 to 20. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. And as I do so, please give your attention. This is God's holy word. Luke 2 and verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. May God bless the reading and the preaching of His Word tonight. What have we learned on the news this week? Think about that for a second. Tonight, we have learned of continued violence and destruction in Syria, where innocent women and children are not even able to flee for their lives. We have heard of the death of at least two TV stars this week. And we've even heard, though it sadly hasn't made national news like it should have, of the unjust arrest of a Christian missionary in Turkey. He was being charged of terrorism. Of all things. These are some of the things we've heard on the news, and it's really not that surprising, is it? Like most weeks, our news feeds are filled with bad news. In fact, that's the vast majority of the news we receive every day of our lives. It's a little bit depressing, isn't it? In fact, I know of one person who won't even watch the news, read the news, or have anything to do with the news because that's all it is. And it makes you sad. It makes you cynical. And it leaves you longing for something better, something more than what seems to be going on in the world around us. Well, here in our passage tonight, we're told that despite all the bad news we hear, and there is a lot of it, and there always will be a lot of it, there is always good news for us to hear. And it is good news that far excels any other good news this world could have for us. And that is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we see here, it is good news that brings great joy, joy unlike anything else. And praise be to God, it's a message of good news that's for all people. That's for all people throughout the world. And so as we look at these verses in Luke 2 this evening, let us see as our main point that here's another way for us to celebrate the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. That we can spread His good news of great joy to all people. Celebrate the birth of your Savior by spreading His good news of great joy to all people. Well, as you can see on the outline, the first point for us to notice and to think about from this passage is that the gospel of Jesus is good news. It is good news. And so let's look again here at verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, as you know, we celebrate Christmas Day on December 25th, which is in the winter. But here Luke tells us that Jesus was born at such a time when the shepherds would be out in the fields. And so most people say, well, there's no way it could be December 25th, because why would any shepherd be out in the field at that time? I won't go into it this evening, but believe it or not, December 25th is actually probably pretty accurate of a guess, because unlike here, Judea has a Mediterranean climate. And so this would be the time when the shepherds would be out in the fields. It actually was the rainy season in that area. I've given you a cross-reference from Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 11, which helps us understand this. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is gone and over. So the winter is the time when the rain would come and make the dry land nice and fertile. This is when there'd be grass. This is when the shepherds would especially be out with their fields. And here on one night, we're told that as some shepherds were out in the country, an angel of the Lord appeared to them. Verse 9, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. I'm sure you've had the experience of being in a dark room when someone you didn't know flipped on the switch all of a sudden. What's your reaction when that happens? Right? You're blinded by it. It's piercing. It's bright. And that's just from a couple of 100-watt incandescent light bulbs. Well, here are these shepherds. They're out there. It's a quiet night. It's a very dark night. And all of a sudden, boom, here's the glorious splendor of the Lord, Luke says, shining right before their eyes. And so they're blinded by it. It's piercing, and they're frightened by it. Luke tells us here they were greatly afraid. But the angel calmed them down with a word. And that's what we need to think about in particular this evening. He said in verse 10, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. When Anne was pregnant with Ezra, this was two Christmases ago, she was supposed to have her first ultrasound the day after Christmas. And we still remember that day because we went into it not hopeful at all. We had had miscarriages before, and Anne was not feeling nearly as sick as she thought she should be. And so we went into that appointment expecting some very bad news. Yeah, but you know what really changed our mood is when the doctor came in and said, I've got good news for you. The baby's fine. And that was some of the greatest news we could hear on that particular day. And in a similar way, that's what the angel came and did for these shepherds. Yes, the glory of the Lord shining from the angel terrified them, but he said, it's okay. I have good news for you. I bring you good tidings. And what is that good news he brought to them? Well, that's what we're told here in verse 11. He says, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the good news, the angel says. The one for whom they had been waiting for hundreds of years was now coming. The Savior who would fix their sin problem was here. The redemption that God promised to His people would be accomplished by the Savior. That's the good news the angel had for the shepherds. And what I want us to think about this evening is that the significance of the gospel as being good news in particular. Another way to think about it is the gospel is not good advice. Now, what is advice? Advice is when we tell someone else, here's what I think you should do, right? Here's the job I think you should have, or here's the person I don't think you should marry. This is advice. In fact, this is what every other religion does in the world. It gives advice. It tells you, here's what you should do to be right with God. Here's what you should do to have a better life. But notice, that's not what the angel said to the shepherds. He said, I have good news for you. And unlike advice, news is not telling you what you should do. News is an announcement of what has been done. You could just think of the daily news you watch on TV or you read in the newspaper. The reporter is never telling you what you should do. Now, there may be things you should do as a result of the news, like watch out for bad weather or whatever, but the news itself is the reporting of what has happened. And that's what the angel said he had come to earth to share, not advice, but good news. In other words, the gospel is not about what we should do. It's not about what we should do. It's an announcement of what God has done for us. And that's significant, as we'll see this evening. That's what makes it different from every other quote-unquote gospel that exists out there in the world today. The gospel is not advice. The gospel of Jesus is good news. It's about what God has done for sinners. Well, as we see secondly on the outline, not only is it good news, but it's good news that brings great joy. And so, again, looking at verse 10 here, I hope you'll all have this verse memorized by the end of this evening. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." And I said earlier, when Ann and I got the news from the doctor about Ezra being okay, we were overwhelmed with great joy. And so the angel says here, the gospel of Christ is good news for you that should calm your hearts because it's a good message that brings joy to you. It's a floodgate, if you will, that brings an unending stream of joy to the believer in Jesus Christ. And that leaves us, though, asking the question, well, why is this? Why is this? Well, as we've seen already, the good news is that God has sent a Savior, one who would save His people from their sins. But notice, as Luke continues, he goes on to say that since God has sent a Savior, there's now peace and goodwill from God to men. And that's what we read here in verses 13 and 14, where Luke tells us, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" The shepherds had been frightened by the one angel of the Lord. Now, all of a sudden, they have a multitude of the heavenly host in front of them. And they're surprised by that. But not only are they surprised by what the angels look like, by the blazing light of their glory, but also the angels are bringing a message to the shepherds as they praise God. And that's what we see here in verse 14. So let's look again at what the angels were proclaiming to the shepherds. First, they proclaim that the Savior was born for the glory of God. For the glory of God. Glory to God in the highest, they said to the shepherds. The Father, in other words, having sent His Son to win salvation for His people, is the one who is to receive the highest praise. The gospel is ultimately about the Father. It's ultimately about the glory of God. Because if you think about it, there's no more glorious display of the character of God than in the birth and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son. But second, as the angels go on, they proclaim that the Savior who was born brings peace to men. Brings peace to men. Remember, as I said this morning, Jesus was born during the Pax Romana, or the Peace of Rome. And here we're told, Jesus came at such a time to bring peace of all things to men. Yeah, the difference, though, is that the peace Jesus came to bring is unlike any peace the Roman Empire could ever bring to people. Because as the Bible teaches us, it's not man's peace, it's God's peace. And since it is God's peace, it's not one that's here today but could be gone tomorrow. It's a true peace. It's a lasting peace. It is preeminently peace with God. Peace with God. This is why Jesus came in the first place, as we talked about this morning, to blot out the sins of His people, removing the enmity that has existed between the holy God and sinful man all the way since the fall of Adam at the beginning of creation. Of course, this is not a peace that comes to all sinners indiscriminately, but to those who embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. He gives peace with God. He gives peace where you can know that your sins are forgiven. He gives a peace where you can know that the judgment you deserve for your sins is no longer upon you. He gives you a peace where you know that you don't have to fear death and you don't have to fear judgment. And like the Pax Romana, as we said this morning, this peace also comes at a cost. Again, this is why Jesus was born, to give His life as a ransom for many. Paul says in Colossians 1, verses 19 and 20, "For it pleased the Father that in Him, that is in Jesus, all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross." This peace comes through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being at peace with God also means you're able to have peace of conscience. It also means you're able to have peace through troubling circumstances. It also means you're able to have peace with other people. Jesus, we're told here, came to earth to bring such peace to sinners. And then third, the angels also proclaim that with this peace, Jesus came to bring goodwill to men. Goodwill to men. Now, I realize, depending on what English version of the Bible you're looking at tonight, it may say something slightly different than the New King James Version. Ultimately, the point is the same, but the majority of the ancient manuscripts go with what the New King James says. And so that's what we're going to be working with tonight, that Jesus brings goodwill from God to men. In other words, since you're no longer under His wrath, you're able to be a recipient of His blessing. That's the idea here. That through Jesus, God deals with you favorably. No longer are you His enemy. Now you're His child. And so you see what the angels are saying here. This is what makes the gospel such a glorious message, such a joyful message. It gives you things that you could never have on your own. It gives you peace with God. And it gives you favor with God, goodwill from God to men. And as we see here in the text, you can have this great joy for yourself because, as the angel says, the Savior was born for you. For you. Look again at verse 11. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." This week, and I know that some of you have heard of this already, some friends of ours started a fundraiser for Lucas and his dad, this little boy who's been living with us. And the goal was to raise $5,000 so that the father could have a car and could be able to have enough money to pay for his first month's rent, as he would find an apartment. And even under 24 hours, all $5,000 was raised. And so he's going to be getting a car so that he can get back and forth to work, as well as transport Lucas. And he's going to have money to pay for his first month of rent so that there's a home, not just for himself, but also for Lucas to go live with his father. Now, he hasn't received this gift. He's been told of the gift. He hasn't received it yet. But I guarantee you, when he gets it, he is going to be overwhelmed with joy. He is going to be beside himself because he realizes, and we've talked about this a little bit, he realizes that though he wants to take care of his son, he's not able to take care of his son if he doesn't have these things. If he doesn't have a way of transporting him in safety and in warmth, if he doesn't have a place for him to sleep in safety at night. And here's a gift being given to him by people he does not know, freely because they want to. And yet it's going to change his life. We pray it will change his life, where he'll be able to have his son back, and he'll be able to be the father he wants to be. And you realize, as sinners, we are needy people. In fact, we are in greater need, far greater need than Lucas's dad. Because we're not homeless, but even if we were homeless, we, apart from Christ, are dead in our sins and have no life. And yet, what do we see here? The Lord, of His own free will, of His own accord, gave us a gift. The gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. So that we could have our greatest needs met. So that we could live as the Lord made us to live, for the glory of God and in righteousness and in holiness. So that we could be at peace with God. And no longer bound to suffer His judgment, so that we could be under the favor of God and have blessings and blessings poured out upon us. As we see here in Luke, that's what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. Like the money raised for Lucas's dad, it's a gift to a needy person that, when rightly understood, brings overwhelming joy. Overwhelming joy. Because it's the gift of Jesus Christ Himself, the one who was born to give you peace and to give you favor with God. And to make it even better, as we see thirdly, it's a gift for all people. The gospel of Jesus is good news that brings great joy for all people. Again, looking at verse 10. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Now, of course, we have to be careful here because this does not mean that Jesus came to save all people, nor does this mean that all people will respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks quite clearly otherwise. But what the angel is saying here is that the good news is for all people to hear. He's saying that the good news of Christ is a message that's not to be given only to some people. It's a message that is to be given to all people. It's a message for the Jew and the Gentile. It's a message for the black and the white. It's a message for the young and the old. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't even matter what you have done. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a universal message, the Lord says. That's what the angel is telling us. In fact, the point is actually made right here in that the angel first proclaimed the gospel to shepherds of all people. Now, we miss this, but in those days, shepherds were outcasts. They were outcasts. They didn't exactly have a good reputation among the Israelites. Since they were out in the fields all the time, they couldn't keep the ceremonial law. And so that they were treated by others as unclean as a result of that. In fact, shepherds weren't even allowed to give their testimony in a court of law because they were commonly regarded as being liars and thieves. And yet, despite all of that, they were the first to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ on the day of His birth. The commentator Philip Ryken says, you can find this on your outline, shepherds were despised. With the exception of lepers, they were the lowest class of men in Israel, yet these were the men God wanted to hear the gospel. Now, in our day and age, who would fit this category? The devout Muslim, maybe. The homosexual. The hardened atheist. Maybe it's the drunk or the drug addict. Perhaps it's the homeless man who can't seem to get his act together. Maybe it's the child molester. These are the people we tend to avoid, aren't they? These are the shepherds of our day. These are the ones, if we had to guess, would never come to faith in Jesus Christ. And yet these are the ones that the Lord says even Jesus came to save. Or let me make it personal. These are the ones even God has saved in this congregation. You see, God can save whomever He wants. And He will save whomever He wants because, what are we told here? His good news is a message that brings great joy to all people without discrimination. In fact, the Greek word translated good news here is the one that was used in the Roman Empire to announce the birth or the coming of age or the accession of a new emperor. And so as such, the good news was an announcement that affected all people, no matter what part of the empire you lived in. It didn't matter. Here was a new emperor, and you, by virtue of being in the empire, your life was now affected by this. It specifically pertained to your life. And so it is with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not just for the white middle class. It's not just for the American. It's not just for those who are brought up in the church. It's a message of good news that applies to all people. And as such, it's a message that's to be brought to all people without discrimination. And so as we come to our fourth and final point on the outline, here's another way for us to celebrate the birth of our Savior, by spreading His good news of great joy to all people. Looking again at the text, after preaching the gospel to the shepherds, the angel went on to tell them in verse 12, "And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." The point of giving them this sign was to help them recognize the baby in Bethlehem. It wasn't that Jesus was the only baby in that town. That's not the sign. It was that He was the only baby who happened to be sleeping in a manger, a feeding trough, of all things. But what's more, the angel gave them this sign so that they would believe this baby in the feeding trough is the Savior. Because as we saw this morning, His humble birth was not exactly fitting for a king. And so it's likely that they would come and they would see the baby in the manger and they would just write Him off. Well, there's no way this is the promised Messiah. And so the shepherds warned them ahead of time. And as we keep looking at the text, verses 15 and 16, after they received the sign, what did the shepherds do next? So it was, verse 15, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. You see what's going on here. The shepherds did not just hear the good news, they responded to the good news. And that, first and foremost, must be our reaction to the good news of Jesus Christ. If it is a message that brings great joy to all people, then we need to believe it. We need to turn away from our sinful ways and place our trust in Jesus the Savior. Now, I know every single one of you here this evening has heard the good news. But have you, like the shepherds, gone to Bethlehem, as it were, to see the Savior? Have you responded to the announcement of His birth? Now, boys and girls, here's where I especially want to encourage you tonight, but also to all of us, that we would go with haste. You notice the shepherds went with haste. That's a fancy word, boys and girls, for they went quickly. They didn't waste any time. They knew the Savior had been born, and so they ran to the Savior. They trusted in Him immediately. And that also needs to be our response. Not that we put the Lord off and say, "I'll believe in Him later." But we need to trust in Jesus Christ even now. When they heard the good news, the shepherds responded by going to Jesus. But notice the shepherds didn't stop there. Verse 17. Now when they had seen Him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. So they hear the good news, they respond to the good news, and then what do? They go and spread the good news. And notice what they shared with others. It is what they had first been told by the angels. Now that's what we see here in verse 17. But look back at verse 15. Right, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. As the shepherds realized, they would never have known the good news unless God had first revealed it to them by His angels. In other words, if the angels hadn't appeared that night, the shepherds would still be in the fields with their sheep, dead in their sins. And the same thing is true for those who do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ. They need the good news to be brought to them, to be revealed to them, if I can use that word. And as the shepherds realized, that's our job. Now, the Lord has to do it ultimately, but He uses us. And through us, that's our job. Now, on this, Philip Ryken says, and again, this is on your outline, on this point, he says, "This shows how much we need the preaching of the gospel. To understand what God has done, we need to have someone explain it to us. This is how God saves us, not simply by sending Jesus to be our Savior, but also by preaching us the gospel so that we can believe in His saving work. God doesn't just do things. He also says things, and we need to know what He says so that we can believe in what He has done." And this is why the Apostle Paul says in Romans 10, verses 13 to 15, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written," and listen to what's said here, "how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace," we've said some things about that tonight, "who bring glad tidings," we've also said some things about that tonight, "of good things." In the next couple of weeks, you are going to interact with a variety of people at your Christmas gatherings. You may interact with family members who are hostile to the Lord. You may interact with friends who are devoted to a false religion. You may even interact with people whose lives are full of the most heinous sins. And here's my question for you tonight. How are you going to interact with them? How are you going to spend your time with them? According to Luke 2, you need to bring the gospel of Christ to them. You need to bring the good news that brings great joy to all people to them. Of course, we don't beat them over the head with it, but we need to love those people as we interact with them. We need to be open about our love for Jesus Christ and what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. We need to pray that the Lord would give us opportunities to speak of the work of Christ. And we need to work hard to lovingly find ways to bring that message of hope to them. Now, I remember being out in the community one time when a woman came up to me and said, "Excuse me, sir, but I see that you have your Bible with you." And if you remember an illustration from a few weeks ago, apparently this happens often in my life for some reason. So she saw the Bible that I had with me, and she handed me a piece of paper. And I was being nice, and so I took the piece of paper and I looked at it, and I realized, "You're a Jehovah's Witness." And so I kindly said, "Thank you, but no thank you. I'm a Christian," and handed it back. Now, that occasion made me think, because it brought into focus for me that here's a person who believes a false gospel, who's worshiping a false God, who has nothing but advice to give me, and yet she has the boldness to walk up to me in a coffee shop and give me something that she believes is going to change my life. And yet, what does she have to offer to me but death? And yet, here I have the message of the good news of Jesus Christ, and what am I doing but just sitting there typing away in my own little world? Now, when Jesus gave His great commission, we need to realize He commissioned every single one of us to go out and to be heralds of His good news. And so as we go into this week and we go into the weeks after that, let us not forget how good the good news is. Right? Think about that. Even tonight, make this one of your prayers this week, that we would remember how good it really is, so that not only will we respond to it, but we will be like the person, you could think of when World War II was over and it was announced, right? People were dying to share the news. The war is over. They've surrendered, and people are hugging and screaming and dancing and kissing in the streets. That needs to be how we respond. If we know how good it is, we need to go out, not be like the world around us, but realize the world around us needs peace. The world around us needs joy. The world around us needs hope, and we have that because God has given it to us in Jesus Christ. And because we have that, we now have the privilege of bringing it to other people. And so as you celebrate the birth of your Savior, here's another way to do it. Spread the good news. Spread the good news, and do it like the shepherds. Spread it far and wide, so that no matter who you're with and where you are, it is known that a Savior has been born, and by grace through faith, you too can be saved as well. So celebrate the birth of your Savior, Jesus Christ, by spreading His good news of great joy to all people. And may the Lord bless our efforts as we seek to do so. Let us pray. Our God in heaven, we pray that You'd forgive us for all the times we do not appreciate the good news for what it really is. Would You open our eyes tonight to behold the glories of Your gospel? Would You help us to see who we are apart from Christ? Would You help us to feel the weight of who we are apart from Christ, and yet to know who we are in Christ? How good and how glorious it is to be united to the Savior. Lord, we ask that You would fill our hearts with a great burden tonight to bring the message of good news of great joy to all people. Lord, would You keep us from fearing man in these coming weeks? Would You keep us from worldliness? Would You keep us from materialism? Would You keep us from laziness? But Lord, would You give us great love for You, so much so that we want to love our neighbor as ourselves, by giving them the greatest thing we could ever give them, the message of Jesus Christ and the work that He has done to save sinners like us, so that we can have peace with God and favor with God. Lord, we pray You'd bless our efforts, that You would bring about conversions, through our spreading your news, that you would build your church and help us to pray accordingly in these days ahead. And Lord, have mercy and please answer our prayers even this evening. Use your word to build us up and to equip us for this great calling. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.